are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here. It is a Film Friday, and we're going to get into especially Dante Pettis. I want to talk a lot about. Had some troubles with the Game Pass, which tends to happen for those users that like to use Game Pass. It's a great feature from NFL to be able to watch coaches film and watch all the games after they happen. Very glitchy. And so I was actually not able to access it after I put Leo to bed Thursday. And so I wasn't able to get as much. So I was able just to see the I couldn't see the coaches tape, could only see the regular broadcast. Could learn a lot from that still. And obviously remember a lot from the game on Sunday. So we're still going to get into that. I was going to look at some other players as well. Going to have to save some of that for next week, but we still have plenty of time to break down some of these young players and watch how these guys develop. And I definitely want to dig deep into Dante Pettis here and more down the stretch this season. I want to look at Solomon Thomas. I want to look at Julian Taylor, who's starting to get a few snaps for the 49ers. The Niners started Marcel Harris, and he got a lot of run. Didn't grade out that well with Pro Football Focus, but I want to dig in on all these guys, and that will be a lot easier when the Game Pass is actually working. I do want to talk about Dante Pettis today and some other interesting stats that are out there. And before we get to all that, a little bit of news to go through here with the 49ers and a couple of former 49ers. Before all that, I do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We are on Google Podcasts. We're everywhere that you could find podcasts, just like all the podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find me on Twitter. That is the best place to reach me or hit any mailbag segments here. We got all the social media stuff covered, but at BD Peacock on Twitter is the best place to get a hold of me, or Locked On 49ers at Gmail. So real quick to start, and I know you guys are sort of numb to the Reuben Foster stuff, but it's worth mentioning here because the 49ers did drop a statement on Thursday after Alyssa Ennis appeared on Good Morning America, and she recanted her recanting, saying that the incident from earlier this year that she went on the stand and said that she lied about it. She was trying to ruin his career. She was trying to ruin the 49ers. She said, oh, that was a lie because she loves Reuben Foster and she didn't want to see him be hurt by all this stuff. And, you know, whatever, like, as hard as it is to understand where she's at and is she lying now? Is she lying then? Is she lying about lying? She's like, that's too much to even comprehend right now, I think. But the key is that she threw the 49ers under the bus, saying that there's 49ers officials there trying to get in the way of the investigation, trying to say, no, this girl is, you know, from this other thing, and trying to sort of run interference a little bit with the arrest on Reuben Foster. And so the 49ers did come out with an official statement, very short and sweet, saying, quote, the 49ers fully cooperated with authorities, assisted in locating Mr. Foster, and in no way impeded their investigation. And that's the end of the 49ers statement on that. And, you know, I don't think any of that stuff's going to go anywhere, but they released a statement, so I had to bring it up. And obviously Reuben Foster is Washington's problem now, but this whole thing is definitely not going to go away for him. And now seems like she's dug her heels in, and I don't know who knows with all that. It's just a crazy situation. Moving on to another former 49er, Alex Smith. Terrible news with him. He's obviously got the injury. He's out for the year. During surgery, he somehow got an infection in his leg. So now he's dealing with an infection, which is maybe worse than the injury in the first place. And that can be a scary thing if you have an infection like that. So he's underwent, I think, maybe multiple surgeries now because of the infection, trying to get that out. Really terrible situation for Alex Smith, who was always a really good dude. And I think most 49ers fans think of Alex Smith fondly and how good he was handling multiple tough situations with the 49ers. Coming out of college, maybe too soon, he was a really young guy, drafted number one overall with the terrible 49ers team under Mike Nolan that was really a complete rebuild. And then it took him so long to get his legs under him in the NFL and develop into a starting quarterback. And then he won that job and was really playing well for the 49ers under Harbaugh, and then got hurt And then Cap came along, and then Cap kept the job. And Alex Smith never caused any problems being the veteran backup to Kaepernick when Kaepernick was the upstart and ended up leading the 49ers to the Super Bowl. Alex Smith handled all of that so well, and he's a true pro, and he's really developed into a good starting NFL quarterback that a lot of teams would love to have. And it was rough to see him get hurt and now have all of this. Hopefully he comes out of everything okay and everything's good with Alex Smith. But I just wanted to relay that stuff because it's pretty, you know, it's kind of a bummer because I think most people really do have a soft spot for Alex Smith. He's a hard guy not to like, even though every team seems to be kind of like keeping one eye open to try to find a quarterback that's better than him. And a lot of times they find out it's very difficult to do. So hoping for the best with Alex Smith and that latest setback with his injuries. Okay, let's dig into Dante Pettis a little bit, and I want to get into the film stuff after the break, so we'll spend the second segment talking about what he did on the field on Sunday in Seattle. But before that, a few interesting statistics, and first of all, it's just the playing time stuff. And when you look at the breakdown of his snap counts and what he's actually seen, like how often he's seen the field, I kind of forgot how much he played the first 2 weeks. And remember, he had that touchdown early on. And it was like, okay, Dante Pettis is going to play a little bit, and he's part of this offense. And then he got hurt. So before he got hurt, week one, he was playing special teams. He was returning kicks. He had 48 snaps in week one, 56 snaps in week two. That's 87.5% of the offensive snaps he had in week two. So he was heavily involved early before getting laid up with that knee injury, and it really sort of sidelined his season, and I wonder how quickly he would have developed and what his numbers would look like right now, because there was a number of other injuries for the 49ers, and Dante Pettis could have been in there quite a bit, and he was already obviously a part of the game plan even when the 49ers were healthier to start the year. So, and he looked good. Like he made some plays early in the season, although you could tell there was some rawness to his game, which there is with rookies. That's just the way it is. But now that he's fully healthy and he's back and he's got the clear path to starters playing time, he's played over 90% of the snaps the last 2 weeks, 58 snaps in week 12 and 71 snaps in week 13. So those week 13 snaps is what we're going to talk about and those five receptions on six targets here after the break. Another interesting stat that I ran across on Twitter, and this is a true catch rate. So a true catch rate is total receptions divided by total catchable targets. And so it might be slightly inflated because of how bad the 49ers quarterbacks have been. You know how some receivers' numbers, like let's say Michael Thomas, for example, people argue that, you know, he's really good, but maybe he's not as amazing or elite as it looks just because he gets to play with Drew Brees. The opposite for 49ers receivers right now because of what they've had to deal with at quarterback this year, and his catchable target rate is 53.6. He's only had 15 targets, so he's not been heavily targeted this year. But on those 15 targets, so just over half of those targets have been deemed catchable, which is, that ranks 109th among receivers in the NFL. 53.6% catchable target rate. But his catch rate is actually better than his catchable target rate, which means he's hauling in some balls that are uncatchable, right? And so when you divide the total receptions by total catchable targets, you get a true catch rate. That's how they find this percentage of 106.7, which is, you know, that makes sense. It's over 100%. So he's catching more balls than are catchable, that have been thrown to him that are catchable. He's catching more passes than that, which ranks actually number one in the NFL, 106.7% true catch rate. So you know, not gospel, small sample size and all on only 15 targets, but very interesting. And those types of numbers can fluctuate quite a bit, but it just shows you that when he's being targeted, he's catching the football and he's got pure hands, man. He's got, I call him Plastic Man for a reason. Not only the way he runs and the way he moves, and sometimes it looks like he doesn't have bones in his body, but the way he extends his arms, and they appear longer sometimes than they are, the way he goes up and he can pluck the ball out of the air. So Dante Pettis is a very interesting player, a little unorthodox. And I've talked before about how he needs to add some strength. He's got such a slight frame, you know, would probably help him avoid injury. He's had some injuries in college with his ankle and stuff. And now the knee injury in his rookie year that really derailed that early. Have a little better play strength on the field. But at the same time, and we'll get into some of this, you don't want him to be bulked up and lose what he's really great at too, which is the short area quickness and the ability to separate and some of the movements he makes after the catch. And he had some of those on display on Sunday. So real quick break here, and we'll be back. Then we'll break down Dante Pettis' receptions from Week 13. One more quick note on Dante Pettis and how he ranks with other rookies so far this season, and he doesn't have enough targets to qualify, but Pro Football Focus tweeted out their top five wide receivers so far in 2018, top five rookie-graded wide receivers, and Dante Pettis with a 66.1 grade would actually rank fifth if he had enough targets. They had a minimum 30 targets on this list. Dante Pettis has half of that, but he'd be one spot ahead of Courtland Sutton, who has a 65.3 grade. We're going to see a lot of both Dante Pettis and Broncos rookie Courtland Sutton this weekend. Number one on the list is DJ Moore at 82.9. Traquan Smith is 272.4. Christian Kirk, third on the list, 70.3. And Calvin Ridley, no surprise on this list, at 69.6. And then just under that, 66.1 Pro Football Focus grade this year would be Dante Pettis. And while we're doing the PFF thing, let's go to the 49ers grades this season. Receiving grades for the 49ers, Dante Pettis is actually the highest graded receiver, just ahead of Marquise Goodwin, but he's only sixth on the list for receiving grades here. The top guys are all running backs and tight ends. We've got Matt Breida, George Kittle, Jeff Wilson, and Kyle Juszczyk are the top four as far as receiving grades go for the 49ers this season. Ross Dwelly's up there too, but he's only got one target and he caught it. So good job, Ross Dwelly. But really there's four guys that have been a little bit better receivers. Jeff Wilson just recently, but he made a really good impact the last 2 weeks as a receiver out of the backfield, which is something I was a little bit surprised about. I wasn't sure how he was going to look there. That's usually one of the things that rookies start to struggle with, is the receiving game, both blocking and catching the ball. But no surprise that Matt Breida and George Kittle are at the top of that list as far as receiving grades go. Matt Breida has made a ton of plays, and George Kittle's on his way probably to a Pro Bowl, and he's 107 yards away from 1,000 yards receiving in his sophomore season. I love isolating on one guy and watching him play over and over and seeing all the reps and seeing all the snaps of one person in a row. You can learn so much by that, and sometimes the game gets convoluted on Sunday. You have rooting interests and you're watching the game, and you know someone's popping popcorn and someone's talking to you, and you know maybe you're watching at a venue with other people. You can get distracted, and like just honing in on Dante Pettis here, I learned so much, I feel like, and some of the things that I already knew were sort of cemented. And then some other things, like one of the things I was surprised about is how often he wasn't lined up outside, or at least he wasn't the furthest outside receiver, because you've got Kittle inside, you know, as tight end, and then you have Richie James and Trent Taylor were the slot guys, so you don't really think of him as a slot guy, but, you know, from the first third down of the game on the opening series, he was lined up outside right, then Jeffrey Wilson motioned out outside of Pettis, so Pettis is slot right at this point, and he was manned up and had a beautiful release against Shaq Griffin, I believe it was, but you know he had a safety over the top, and there was a lot of concentration on him on that route that he ran around a deep dig route, and so then Wilson on the outside, he ran a little short in route underneath. Mullins found Wilson and converted the first down, but there was multiple plays like that, including Pettis's first touchdown, where it was a similar thing where Pettis was the guy in motion and he was the furthest outside wide receiver, but they were semi-bunched. So even though Mullins was taking the snap from the right hash, the 49ers had two receivers that were still between him and the numbers. So they were sort of tight on that alignment. The Seahawks ran a little zone blitz. They brought a safety. Dante Pettis didn't have to do much as far as running a route and losing a guy in man coverage because they had zone behind that blitz. And he just hooked it up, made the catch. And the key to this play was, a lot of it was Kyle Juszczyk, who was coming out of the backfield on a wheel route, and he sort of passed up Dante Pettis after he made the catch. So Pettis did a lot on his own, ditching Shaq Griffin. I talked about that fancy footwork that Pettis has. And so he catches it, immediately turns upfield. And this is what I love. So he turns upfield, identifies the defender, and he just cuts on a dime. And Shaq has really nothing to do but sort of lunge and extend his arms. And on top of the juke that Pettis gives him, a little stiff arm as well, and then he finds his way around the corner and turns in tight quarters around Kyle Juszczyk's block, who blocks the linebacker, and he tightropes the sideline and gets into the end zone for a touchdown. So it wasn't so much as the route on this one. This one was all after the catch. He made a nice move, got a nice block. It was a great play call against this defense because they were down to safety and coverage. He was blitzing, so he could just hook it up there, and Mullins got the ball out quickly and gave him time to make a play after the catch. And I actually skipped Dante Pettis' first catch. But by the way, the touchdown was a 3rd-and-7 play in the red zone. His first reception was a 3rd-and-9 play. This is in the second quarter before the 49ers were on the board. And it was Pettis lined up slot right. Again, it was Shaq Griffin. He was in press coverage this time. And I love the release. And it's nearly the same move that he gave Shaq Griffin on the touchdown, but just going the other way instead. And it's a three-step release that he gives him. And I saw this earlier in the season, and I think it was, I can't remember who it was, maybe Eric Crocker doing a breakdown of it. And when it's in slow motion, it's like, oh, man, he's taking a lot of steps. When you watch it live, it's very quick. And Shaq Griffin thinks he's going left, tries to get a jam on him, and he's gone to the inside, runs a little slant. It's a very similar look to what he gave the dude who I don't remember who's in coverage against Tampa Bay last week when he made that touchdown catch off of a slant route where he lost the dude in coverage by like 8 yards. And he just gets out of his break in an instant. So I love that. So he gives a little 1-2-3 hesitation. Boom, he's off on his slant route. And at that point, it's really hard because as soon as Shaq Griffin takes that false step to his left, Dante's already across his face and he's got the slant and he's got the inside, and it's an easy pitch and catch from Mullins. But on this play, Dante Pettis makes a bad play after the catch. Instead of just going up and getting that last yard, he actually tries to cut it horizontally, and Griffin is able to grab his legs, and I think he was looking for the big play. He was trying to cut back left, but he ended up being short, and he was a yard short of the first down on 3rd-and-9. So, rookie mistake. I know what he was doing. He's trying to make the big play. Now that I see it, when I saw it live, it's like, what are you doing, man? Get over this. Get over the yellow line. And then you're like, okay, well, he can't see the yellow line, right? But there was some open grass, I think, that he was looking at. He probably didn't realize Shaq Griffin was on his tail so close. And it could have been a huge play if he did get past him there. So I see what Dante Pettis was seeing, but you got to get across the line and convert that first down on a 3rd-and-9. Fast forward to the third quarter. It was a 2nd-and-9 play from the 10-yard line. 49ers backed up, and Dante Pettis lined up wide left on this one, outside the numbers. He gets 15 yards, first down. And, you know, upon first viewing, it's one of those things like, yeah, okay, you know, nice route. You ran a little comeback there. Mullins found you. Hit you with the pass. Good job, first down. But when you see this route, at the top of his route, when he makes his break, is where you see that thing. You see that special little thing that Dante Pettis has that you know is the thing that Kyle Shanahan loved about him coming out of the draft. And he gets to the top of his route, and he can just do things with his body. He's more flexible than most guys. He's more flexible even than these supremely athletic defensive backs in the NFL. And he can just drop his weight and get changing directions so fluidly. And it's why I said on Twitter a couple weeks ago, just watching him run routes, it's like he's a feather in the wind, you know, because it's semi-erratic, but it's elegant too. And all of a sudden it's like a little gust of wind and it goes this way. And that's kind of how he is. And he just drops his weight, boom, explodes out of his break and really creates a lot of separation. Drops his butt towards the ground, pitter-patter the steps. He's changing directions before the defensive back, who recognizes what he's doing, but he just can't stop in time because he's already, you know, he's done a good job selling a deep route. Corner takes so many long steps to try to get there and turn back and change directions. And by the time Dante Pettis is in, like, basically the closest they were was right about when he makes his break. Like, he presses right into the defensive back and then makes his break back 45-degree angle back toward the line of scrimmage and toward the sideline. And by that time, he's got 5 yards of separation. That flexibility in his hips and to be able to get his butt down to the ground and explode out of his break and create separation. It's sort of an exciting thing to see Dante Pettis getting used more and seeing that development and just watching him. So, I think a lot of his development, I mean, all of these movement skills he had them in college. That's why he was such a great kick returner. That's why he was a prolific receiver for Washington in college. But I think it's just the mental side of the game. There's mental toughness. There's knowing the playbook. There is just having that edge on the field, being ready to play, running confidently. The trust factor between the quarterback and the offensive coordinator and the receiver. Because I know Kyle Shanahan's very specific about the way he likes his players to run routes, because it really affects what else is going on the play with somebody else's route. So if you don't run yours right, or you break something off in a way that maybe screws something else up that Kyle Shanahan thinks he's trying to target on a play call. Which is a perfect segue as I talk about running the routes exactly how Kyle Shanahan wants them to. I thought it was very interesting on the big 75-yard touchdown play that after the game, Dante Pettis said, yeah, I noticed the safety came down a little bit, and so I was supposed to run a post route. What I did instead was break it off a little bit sharper, ran sort of a deep slant route on it, and so it was sort of a him and Nick Mullins read the same thing, and Mullins waited for it. He saw it, and you could tell that Mullins knew where he wanted to go right off the bat. I mean, he's looking his way. He's waiting for the break, and boom, it throws it to him and actually throws it almost inside like a dig route. Like the throw almost took Dante Pettis away from the DB and back toward the line of scrimmage, unlike a post route that would take him deeper down the field, which I think is exactly what both guys were thinking there on the fly, which is really awesome to see. And I mentioned this before on the show earlier this week. I wonder what Kyle Shanahan thought about that at first. He was probably like, no, yes, yes, kind of thing. So it's really cool to see the two young players get together on that. And obviously I talked about the growing curve there and trusting each other, seeing a young quarterback and a young receiver trusting each other, breaking off a route a little bit differently and making a big play out of it was pretty awesome. So what they saw is the safety dropping down. This was a first and 10 play. So the safety dropping down, maybe they're anticipating run. Maybe they're anticipating something short. The safety drops down into the box a little bit. Trent Taylor was the slot receiver on Dante Pettis' side. Dante Pettis was lined up wide left. Trent Taylor was lined up in the slot on the left side. Taylor had a linebacker lined up right over him, and there was a little play action to the right side of the play, and the linebacker was dropping back into a hook zone. Then that safety that dropped down made a beeline for the flats, so that was his responsibility. And really, they had two guys all over Trent Taylor on that play, but that left the post and the inside of the field wide open for Dante Pettis. But after the play action, which I don't know if the play action really had a ton to do with it, maybe it kept the other safety off of the middle of the field. So that gave, because the play action went to the right. So I think it did maybe hold the safety a little bit on the other side of the field, which gave Dante Pettis a little bit more space there to have some room to run there and run after the catch and take it 75 yards to the house. The impressive part of this play, just isolating Dante Pettis, was, you know, he made a nice little break there and had a nice bit of separation. But what I like is, and it's not the top speed, because I actually thought he was going to get caught, and luckily he had George Kittle, who was occupying I think it was George Kittle who was part of that. There was a play action. There was George Kittle that might have been occupying that middle third safety, and it looked like a cover three look because the corner that was covering Dante Pettis bailed immediately, and it looks like Shaq Griffin on the other side and the middle third safety were both pretty concerned with George Kittle, and why wouldn't they be? And a post route is usually a good call to beat cover three because you're trying to get that spot between the deep corner and the deep safety in the middle of the field. But by sort of cutting it off at a sharper angle, what that did was, and this is the impressive part from Dante Pettis, is his ability to, so he makes the break, he's got a little separation from the cornerback, and it was good ball placement, so he can catch the ball, get up to top speed so quickly. It's that acceleration, it's that point from, okay, the break point of the route to catching the ball to being at top speed and hitting that seam that he has. That's the part I want to stress. That is the special ability that Dante Pettis has, and it's an important ability in the NFL to win in small places, and he can do that. And really, on each of these plays, he demonstrated that in some way. And then from there on this play, it's basically a punt return, which is why you could see that why he's so good as a kick returner in college, because he sees that seam, and he's got up to high speed already, and maybe the top speed isn't, you know, way up there for Dante Pettis because Shaquille Griffin was definitely running him down at the end of the play, couldn't catch him, but it's that acceleration, that ability to get up to top speed, which I think was important, especially on this play, and the vision to see where to go as you're running the ball and hit that seam and get up the field and then get a little block from George Kittle on your way into the end zone. So all of that is to say that, yes, Dante Pettis might be pretty good, and no, he's not a finished product. Is he a wide receiver one? Is he going to be an elite number one wide receiver in the NFL? I don't know. I don't think so. I think it looks like he's going to be a good number two type of wide receiver. He's shown some ability to be a starting NFL wide receiver for a while, and I think that's pretty important. I think that's pretty valuable, and we'll see how good he actually gets and how he develops in Kyle Shanahan's offense, but there is some skill to work with and some special ability from a flexibility and short area quickness standpoint. And he needs, there's some things he won't be, which is ever just like huge and big and strong. And he's not going to be a catch point monster, I don't think, because of the strength. But he's really good at the catch point with his ability to high point the ball. So maybe he can make up for it in other ways. And as long as he stays healthy, And if he keeps working in Kyle Shanahan's offense, I think they got something with Dante Pettis. And just because you traded up for him in the second round and maybe he doesn't become a wide receiver one, I don't think fans should be disappointed necessarily. But you should also realize, hard for rookie wide receivers to make a huge impact in the NFL. So year two, year three, that's when Dante Pettis will probably take off if he does. And I hope we see him starting this week opposite Marquise Goodwin. Now the Goodwin is back because Pettis needs all the reps he can get. And Kyle Shanahan did say this week that, because we had talked about it on the podcast, is one of the questions, and he did say that Pettis has practiced at both Z and X wide receiver spots. So if Marquise comes back and starts in the X spot, which is where Pettis was last week, then Pettis, I got to believe Pettis will be able to start on the other side. And I really like Dante Pettis potentially as a slot receiver too. So I wouldn't mind seeing him line up there often either, even though the 49ers have Richie James and Trent Taylor and some more, maybe more prototype slot guys. But I mean, keep people's hands off of Dante Pettis. Let him use that athleticism. Let him have that little extra bit of space to work with coming off the line of scrimmage, catch and run on some shorter routes. Use him everywhere. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll have to do another Film Friday, and multiple Film Fridays, I think, the rest of the way here, and look at some more of these young players and how they're developing at the end of this season. Be back on Monday with a Rapid React podcast breaking down everything that happened from Sunday's Broncos 49ers Week 13 matchup. All right, talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.